This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. We ask Allah to send his peace and blessings upon him, the prophets and messengers that came before him, his family and companions that served alongside him, and those that follow in their blessed path until the day of judgment, and we ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, what makes this earth worth it, worth its existence, are the people on this earth that say La ilaha illallah, that bear witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that live lives pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we look at the final days and the final hour, one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam insinuates is that the hour will not come until there aren't a people on this earth who even say Allah, Allah, La ilaha illallah anymore. Almost to say that the earth is no longer worthwhile. This entire world is no longer worthwhile when there isn't a single person left on the face of this earth that says Allah, Allah. What makes Mecca special and so beloved to us is that it was the place where our father Ibrahim alayhi salam took our Prophet Ismail alayhi salam and set into motion with Hajar and Ismail the eventual events that lead to the birth of our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and make Mecca what it actually is. What makes Medina special is not the geography of the city. It was the presence of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions that were there, and the presence of that spirit that exists until this day that causes us to go to Medina. What makes Al-Quds so special, Jerusalem so special, and Ard al-Sham in the broader sense, the land of Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, that entire area, is that that is the land of the prophets. That is the land of the Anbiya. And it was the people there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that land through. Why do I start with this particular introduction? What makes Gaza special? As we've been watching this enormous massacre and factory of slaughter in front of our eyes, is it the land? Is it the waterfront that should be beautifully developed? Is it the natural olive trees of Palestine? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate it all that is constantly being taken away. Or is it the people themselves, many of whom we're suddenly starting to learn about? Their stories have become so close and intimate to us that even if we never met them, we feel like we knew them. And subhanAllah, it's a different dimension. Yesterday, Brother Rifat, many of you saw the martyrdom of a shaheed, Rifat rahimahullah, a beautiful brother who used to give so much of the news, the voice of Gaza. And he was martyred in an airstrike along with his family. A piece of us dies even though we don't know who he is. Many of us hold our breath as we watch the likes of Mu'taz, as we watch all of these names, Wissam, others that we feel like we've come to know even though we never met them. But they're so part of us at this point. The beautiful man Khalid, the grandfather of Reem, the soul of his soul, who we've been speaking about, and subhanAllah, the man looks like he's been taken out of a book of seerah and put into the 21st century for us to see suddenly what looks like an individual that manifests the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most horrific tragedy. We feel like we know them. And I want to take us back to a couple of years ago where so many ulama were passing away when COVID first broke out. And one of the chapters that was covered in almost every single part of the world was Bab Dhihab al-Salihin, the chapter in Bukhari or Muslim and many books of hadith, when the righteous depart. And the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah does not take away knowledge from a people by suddenly ripping it from their hearts, but it is taken away بموت العلماء أو بقبض العلماء, with the sudden taking back of scholars. How many scholars did we not even know exist in Gaza that have been martyred? How many special people that brought barakah to this earth, brought blessing to this earth, that we did not even know exist, and some of them we still don't know exist. that are being taken away in this moment. Why do I want us to stop with this, inshallah ta'ala, in this particular khutbah? Every single life that is lost is a tragedy. Every single unjust taking of a life is a tragedy. Every single child that dies is a tragedy, even if they didn't live long enough to quote-unquote build anything in this world of a legacy. Every single one of those people, it's a tragedy. In fact, it's a tragedy even if the person was not righteous at all, because the person might have had the potential of righteousness taken away from them through an unjust murder. So the unjust taking of a life is a tragedy. And Allah Azza wa Jal commissions us to this idea that it is worth saving one person. And to save one person, it's as if you have saved all of mankind. We speak about this. And it's important for us to keep that in context when we're watching mass murder take place. Because if through the efforts, the collective efforts of people around the world, with the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the death toll can be 24,999 instead of 25,000, then the collective efforts of everyone around the world would have been worth it. If through our collective efforts and Allah Azza wa Jalla's acceptance, this ends one day earlier than had those efforts not been present with the ultimate authority and control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is worth it. There are a lot of doctors that have been speaking in this community about when they're going to try to get in, inshallah ta'ala, to offer medical care when this is all over. If through that you save one person, it's worth it. Whether that person carries the value of ilm and knowledge or a legacy that is celebrated or not, it is worth it. But beyond that, I wanted to come to a very specific way that the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua for righteous people. When the Messenger of Allah ﷺ spoke about the collective, when he stood the night before Badr, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ, and Allah says that you called out to your Lord all night and He answered you. He answered your seeking glory, your seeking His aid in that moment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, "Oh Allah, if you allow them to do to us what they want to do, then they are going to say this and this and this and that." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called out to Allah and he said, "In tuhlik hadhihi al-isaba falan tu'bada fil ard." Oh Allah, if this group of people are killed, you're not going to be worshipped on this earth. Think about that. He wasn't thinking about his own name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't thinking about all of the gory possibilities. And to us, perhaps because we see so much of it, it seems like the worst possible thing to see a person whose limbs are ripped here and there, and the goriness of the situation. Because the material is so ugly, we can't even start to imagine the immaterial and what is beyond the veil of this world. But what is worse than all of that is, what is the quality of the people that would be taken away in this process? And including that in your dua, it breaks our heart in a very particular way to see children be killed. Breaks our heart in a very particular way to see the nastiness and the goriness of the situation. But what is the quality of the people? What I'm coming to is, how much of the world right now depends on the survival of the people of Gaza? How much of the world right now, our communities around the world, our ummah, actually depends upon the survival of the people of Palestine, those people that are in Ard al-Ribat, that are fulfilling in that land of holding down the fort, what the entire ummah looks to them to do, despite the betrayal of leadership around the world, and despite the betrayal of those who claim to be for human rights? What value do they hold in particular? In tuhlik hadhi isaba, oh Allah, don't let Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and those people that are going to set legacies in motion where people will worship you 1400 years later, don't let them go. Don't let them be taken away from us, oh Allah. That was the ingredient that is mentioned in the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. Keep in mind, he made dua the entire night. But that's the one that made it through in the narration. That if this group of people die, you will not be worshipped on this earth. Ibrahim alayhi salam, our father Ibrahim, when he says, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. SubhanAllah, one of the beautiful meanings of that, oh Allah, don't make us a trial for those who disbelieve, is that what Ibrahim is saying, that is, if they gain complete victory over us, then they might be deluded into thinking that they are upon truth and we are upon falsehood. Therefore, the truth will not continue to succeed in generations to come. Don't let it be a fitna for them as well. And so the idea here is the persistence of something special, the quality of a people, not just their breaths, but their du'as. Not just their lives, but their souls. Not just their physical presence, but their presence of righteousness that keeps the entire equilibrium of this world preserved in a way that we cannot capture. I want you to include this ingredient in your dua, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because whether someone is being brought into this world, as Zakariya alayhi salam was praying for a son, وَاجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيًّا, make him pleasing, O Allah. Don't just give me a son I can play with, make him pleasing, O Allah. Make him someone that's going to establish righteousness on earth. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would visit a sick person, one of the du'as that is authentically narrated from him, and I can't think of a du'a that applies more to the people of Gaza right now. And he said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you go and you visit someone who is sick, particularly people of righteousness, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma shfi abdak, yanka'u laka aduwa, aw yamshi laka ila salah. Allahumma ishfi abdak, yanka'u laka aduwa, aw yamshi laka ila salah. What a beautiful dua. O Allah, preserve this servant of yours, who will continue to stand against an enemy of yours, continue to be a thorn in the side of an oppressor, of an enemy of yours. أو يمشي لك إلى صلاة. Or he who will continue to record those footsteps to salah, those footsteps to prayer. Because you know what? Those people that walk to salah, they're not just recording footsteps for themselves. There's something that comes into the preservation of an entire ummah, of a collective, through those elderly people that walk to salah, that walk to the prayer. There is something to be said about a small group of people that continue to do what the broader ummah can't do. When a couple of thousand people maintain what a couple of billion cannot do, then the rest of us have to make dua for that couple of thousand to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their preservation. And so think about that when you're making dua for the people of Gaza. Think about that as you're making dua for the people of Palestine. Oh Allah, preserve these people that serve as a fortress against your enemy, and preserve these people who have their footsteps recorded to the salah, to the prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our people in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our people in Palestine. May Allah protect our Khalid and our Mu'taz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our Ismail and our Dana. May Allah protect all of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our Maryam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all of the people of Gaza and all of the righteous people that we know and that we don't know, who serve as a protection for us in ways that perhaps we cannot understand. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafur rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibu da'wat. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'fu 'anna wa la tu'adhibna. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma innaka 'afuwun kareemun tuhibbul 'afwa fa'fu 'anna. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين في مشارق الارض ومغاربها اللهم اهلك الظالمين بالظالمين واخرجنا واخواننا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزد لكم ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون واقم الصلاه